I want to talk to somebody in charge.
You are not fooling anybody when you say that what happened was a natural disaster.
You're lying.
It was not an earthquake. It wasn't a typhoon.
Because what's really happening is that you're hiding something out there. And it is going to send us back to the Stone Age.
I never realized how boring Godzilla can be at times.
Oh, shit.
Fuck you, Godzilla. Until your last 30 minutes where you kicked a hell of a lot of ass. By oh, my God, dude. I would have stuck my dick in your mouth had you fucking breathed that blue flames on my shit like that. Because I got a boner watching that. I was like...
All right. So I'm going to have to do this. Now, P1, I know your day job. I know what you do. So I know my argument. You're going to kick the shit out of me for this. So I'm gonna graciously put my computer down. I'm going to send you a wonderful handshake before this review begins, because this is going to be like Pacific Rim Round 2. I can already feel it.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, if you send me anything from them previous two ones, I'm going to be like, hey, fuck you. I wasn't there at that toss-up. I had nothing to do with that shit, all right?
So because I will be the first. I will be the goddamn first to admit that this movie is damn right a guilty pleasure of mine.
It is goddamn boring to the T of, oh my God, nobody gives a fuck about them. There it go again. See, people, you know what? I predicted this movie on last week's episode before I even saw the fucking movie, of saying how it's going to go down. I did a breakdown of the movie.
Yeah, you did.
It literally did that shit. I was like,
yeah, you did.
Why does it have to do that? Nobody gives a fuck about none of these people. We want to see Godzilla in his most absolute perfect destroying descent. Oh my God, you give me such a boner just to
now. I will say this: you give a shit about one of them, and it's only because he's a great actor.
That's 25 minutes, yeah. I timed that because I figured his ass wasn't going. I even said that too.
I listened to what you said, because unfortunately I couldn't be on last week. I listened to what you said and how you broke it down, and I was like, man, I pray for fuck's sake he's not right.
I remember telling Z last week too. I was just like, Bryan Cranston's not gonna be in the film. Trust me. Everybody keeps talking about how Bryan Cranston. Do you not hear the report saying Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Johnson or whatever? Bryan Cranston is probably gonna have a beginning film, and he's gonna be either something's gonna happen to him, or he's gonna be gone for the rest of the film and shit. And when damn near enough, I was about to say I proved myself wrong. This motherfucker's like, oh wait, there it goes. When he fell off that shaft, I was just like, and there you go.
It was one of those things where it's like, what did it for me is, like, as soon as, like, they're showing the whole cast in the beginning credits, which is, like, a conspiracy theory, is like, you'll see him jerking off in the front of the theater at those opening credits.
Yeah, which was kind of like a throwback to the original guy.
Yeah, it was, and it was a nice little touch. But as soon as I saw Bryan Cranston, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, whenever they do that, that character's like Schwarzenegger in his Spendable movies. He just pops up and says a line and goes away for a couple of while.
It was weird to me. It was weird to me because they showed Julie Binoche and Sally Hawkins before Cranston. And I was like, I don't remember which one of you two it was, but one of you two is out of this film before he is.
The funny thing is, they're in the film longer than he is. I just thought about that. I was like, they didn't die. So yeah, they actually live.
No, one of them dies.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The other one dies.
That's what
Sally
I said.
Sally Hawkins didn't die, though, so her ass.
Yeah, Julie Binoche died.
Yeah, Julie Binoche did.
I gotta admit, because you're right, the middle half of this film, I personally did not find it boring, but I completely understand why people did.
I find it boring because I didn't give a shit about nothing. I just want to see Godzilla beat some ass.
I'll get into why personally I didn't get bored with it, but it's one of those things where if people come out like, man, that second act was boring, I was like, hey, I don't blame you.
I thought the whole movie was boring when Bryan Cranston died until the last 30 minutes, to be honest. Because you brought up Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim is actually a great comparison. Well, actually, it's a great comparison. P1 is the only monster movie that came out recently.
and the only one that you also fucking hated.
That's a great comparison there, is because in that movie, those actors were already doomed for failure because they fucking sucked them before they even got in that movie. Yeah, they fucking suck. Let's just be real. I'm not even talking about before they even started the movie. I'm talking about before they, when you got, you heard their names, you was just like, I don't expect a goddamn thing out of them. What's more insulting in this movie is the fact that you have about one of the best ensemble movies I've probably seen this year, and they are useless, wasted, dull, boring, hollow, or bullshitters.
Besides Cranston.
And I don't even count him because he was in the movie for 20 minutes at the beginning. And once that goes away, that's when we get into dull, boring. Ken Watanabe looks on his face. That motherfucker, I think he forgot what movie he was in half the time because that look on his face, he has that same expression on his face throughout the whole movie, just looking at the skylight. And it looked like he wants to say something, but he just can't get the words out. It's just like, and then the screen just cuts off and going out. Just like, well, I guess he really couldn't finish that sentence or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'll break this down. I mean, plot-wise, it's a Godzilla film. What the fuck do you expect?
I expected a goddamn masterpiece from what people are saying or whatever. Not
good
a masterpiece,
point.
But I expect story and some great acting from these actors. That was actually one of the positives I had going into the movie, that it's got better actors than Pacific Rim. So,
yes,
obviously, they got these high-paid actors in here for a reason. And when you look at it, you're like, no.
And for the first, you know, with Cranston, who obviously, he steps up his game for this.
Oh, he sells it like a motherfucker.
Yeah, he does.
All right, plot synopsis first. Oh,
I'm sorry, I got sidetracked there for a second. So, the plot first begins, was it 1995? I believe. Am I correct on that?
1977, I believe.
Was it 77?
1977, I believe. If you want to count the credit, if you want to count the credits and shit like that. That's
okay. So basically what happens is that Ken Watanabe goes with, was it Sally Fields that was following him around the whole movie?
Sally Hawkins, yeah.
Okay. So Sally Hawkins and Ken Watanabe, they go to a burial site and find the remains of a bunch of bones. We then cut to 1995, where Bryan Cranston, it's his birthday, and he proceeds to have one of the worst fucking birthdays in the history of mankind, because he goes to his job at the nuclear power plant, some shit goes down, and...
When he sentences his wife to death.
Yeah, sends his wife down the nuclear reactor, only for the nuclear reactor to malfunction, and his wife dies.
They should have personally kept him alive throughout. He should have been the main star. He had the best motivation out of anybody.
And you know what? I as I said before, I like this movie, but I completely fucking agree with you.
He should have stayed alive because he said, and people are wondering, like, is it just because of his wife dying or whatever, and he feels guilty? He flat out comes out and say in the movie when he was crying, talking to his son, I sent her down there. This is my fault while this happened. That thing killed her, and I need answers now. And I was just like, I hope they keep him alive, because that is the best motivation probably you're going to get out of one of these monsters, too. That,
I do, too.
If they kept him alive, this probably would have been the best monster movie of all time.
I do, too. And the fact that Cranston sells it so goddamn well.
Believable.
Yeah, like, when he sees his wife in the reactor, like, dying slowly, he's got fucking tears in his eyes. He's, you know, his mouth is trembling. He's
got to channel that Heisenberg, baby.
He does. He fully does.
He got to show you. He got multiple forms of crazy.
I mean, it's nuts. Like, it's just, you see the acting with this, and it's so incredibly well done that you know, I'm the same way as you. I was like, I hope he stays alive in this. I really do. Like, he needs to be the star of this thing. Because even though I've seen Aaron Taylor Johnson do well, his character's got nothing in this.
I like Aaron Taylor as a, I remember, I love, if not like, all these people that's in this movie. I love all these people here. Even Aaron Taylor Johnson. I don't love him, but the things I've seen him do, I like him in. I think he has potential to be an up-and-coming actor. But in here, this is probably the dullest I've ever seen.
Yeah, and that's really, that's due to a script that just really doesn't give him a lot of character.
Another thing, too, is working besides Bryan Cranston, like you said, giving it all, I don't think he was doing a great job in acting as far as what Bryan Cranston was displaying. I think Bryan Cranston kind of over-displayed over him.
He overshadowed over everyone.
In that scene, more just for the simple fact that those two were the only ones in that scene, and he just had this blank stare in his look when Bryan Cranston, I was just like, I hate to say this, they should have got somebody else.
Yeah. Or just take his character out in full and just make this, you know, Bryan Cranston's the one. Maybe he's an ex-military man who's now working at a nuclear plant. His wife dies.
I'm sick of that military story, too. By the way, I can't, they need to stop doing that shit. Okay.
Yeah, but it would have made sense given contextually the story, like why he would still be going after Godzilla.
Technically, that was a plot problem as well, too. The whole ex-military shit. Oh, yeah, Aaron Taron Johnson, who played Fort Brody, he's the only weapons dismantler in the whole goddamn area right now out of these.
Yeah, bullshit.
Fucking, okay.
You guys are near Hollywood. Jeremy Renner's not up to shit.
What in the fuck are you talking about when it comes to that? Actually, they weren't near Hollywood. They're about 9 hours away, but, you know.
Okay, I don't know California. My bad.
San Francisco is about 9 hours away from here, whatever. But either way, San Francisco is near naval bases and shit like that. So at the same time, I expect more fucking people to know what the fuck they're doing here. You know what? Shit like this kind of worries me because I'm not in the military, but I have friends that are in the military. And when they tell me shit how it goes down, it kind of worries me that our U.S. military don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Which this movie kind of points out.
It really kind of scares the fuck out of me that they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Because
it's getting to a point you got to stop looking like goddamn buffoons because now it's just making it blatantly of some of the shit that America does to people.
Yeah, I'm sure some people saw what you and I were talking about on Twitter earlier about this movie where...
I love that Michael Bay is getting his ideas of, hey, it's okay to be a war-supporting Republican. I love the fact that he gets it from these military things like this, whatever, because he's like, well, hey, you know, Godzilla can do it, why can't I do it, or whatever, shit.
Right.
There you go, Michael Bay, add an extra American flag, you piece of shit Transformer.
Which they showed a trailer for before this. Oh, you would have loved this. Okay, side tangent, people. I went to go see this with my dad last night, and when they showed the trailer for Transformers 4, he looked at me and goes, I can't tell what the hell they're hitting.
Some aluminum cans. That's
he was just like, can. He was just like, can you tell the good guys and the bad guys in all these movies? I was like, no.
It looked like the same shit from the last three movies.
Except with Mark Wahlberg.
Right now. It looked like I just watched a remake or something like that. I was like, that looked like the same shit, just Mark Wahlberg instead of fucking Shia LaBeouf.
It looks like a brand new car from a 2013 to a 2014. It's sleeker, but that doesn't mean it's better.
They just changed the lights in the back and
front of it. And there you go, made that shit look darker.
But back to Godzilla now.
Yeah.
Where were we now?
Okay, so I'll explain one thing that I really do like that they do with this movie.
This plot? I don't remember, to be honest.
Okay, so what they set up essentially with this plot is that after, you know, Bryan Cranston and his son, they go back to where their house used to be. And they're peculiar at the fact that there's no radiation there. So Bryan Cranston's like, I knew it. This was a goddamn cover-up for something.
Yeah, Bryan Cranston's crazy as fuck in this area. He's really good at doing that.
Which is why you and I have hit the point, and I completely agree with you. It should have followed him, but let's move on from that. So they go back to the nuclear power base where Cranston used to work and where the accident happened, and they find out that an egg of some sort that is feeding off nuclear and electromagnetic energy is being kept preserved for some stupid fucking reason by these people.
My character realizes that Bryan Cranston's character realized this before the incident even took occurred.
Yeah.
And wanted to get information from Bryan Cranston's character, but he soon turned to turn for a worse and died, so...
Yeah, so basically what happens is that Bryan Cranston's like, look, this shit's gonna happen again, something's gonna come out of this fucking thing, and it's gonna fuck all of us up.
That line he delivered, that just felt like a middle part of a movie somehow. I was just like, man, this is too soon to be getting this deep. I was just like, God damn, dude, it's been like 7 minutes. I'm not complaining about that, by the way, people, so don't think I'm complaining about that at all.
Yeah, it was about the 20-minute mark that this happens.
Was it 20-minute mark? Okay, it was about the time, because he died not too long after that. It was about like seven minutes later. But yeah, it was about the 20-minute mark. I was just like, in back of my head, I was like, shit's about to get deep in here or whatever. And then... after he dies, it goes into,
okay, so this thing is called Muho. We must find the Muho. And the American's response, or at least the U.S. Army's response, is, okay, this thing's huge. You said it feeds off nuclear energy? Let's throw a nuclear bomb at it, in which everyone in the audience went, what the fuck?
stupidest fucking thing I've heard in the whole goddamn. I was just like, what did he just say? What?
And the movie even calls it out because Sally Hawkins is like, that's fucking stupid.
And they were like, we shoot a bomb out and then we kill it after. I was like, that don't even make any fucking sense. All right, you guys ain't gonna give a fuck about putting a plan together. Then why even bring it up then?
Right, and I love how Sally Hawkins is like, do you really think that's going to work? They're like, well, here's the thing. That bomb we used back in the 50s, that's a firecracker compared to what we're going to set there. I was like, that's just going to make it even worse.
That's going to kill people, number one. And number two, it's going to make it worse. Number three, that was the last time you see Sally Hawkins on screen, too.
Yes, it is. You are right.
So if you're like, oh, man, I love her in Blue Jasmine. Get her the fuck out of here. She's gone now.
She's gone. And now it's time to follow Aaron Taylor Johnson, who, as we've stated before, is not given a lot of character in this movie.
I was going to say, in you follow your next female lead, which is Elizabeth Olsen, who's got to be the most useless female character. She's definitely in the top five this year.
Which sucks, because she does bring something to her performance. You can tell she's trying.
She is... Well, definitely one of my favorite actresses. If anybody asked me my favorite young actress today, yeah, Elizabeth Olsen probably be the top of my head I can throw off at the name, whatever. I love this girl, whatever she does. And I thought that this movie was bullshit and what they did for her. I was just like, why would they even assign her to something like this?
Why would they even have her unless to bring in the emotional punch at the ending, which I'll give her credit. She sells it. But it's
I didn't even feel no emotional punch because people was cheering and clapping and shit. So I was just like,
I heard weeping around me, and I was just like, you know what? If you look at how she's acting,
no, I'm not talking about in the theater. I'm talking about in the movie. I'm talking about the fucking movie.
Oh, okay. People
cheering and clapping and shit. So I don't know what the fuck the emotional punch was supposed to be at the end of the movie. Personally, to me, I thought that was insulting what they did with her, and I was a little pissed off by that because I was looking at her like. Yeah, we just got done doing $1 million arm, whatever. Lake Bell's character did more in that movie than Elizabeth Olsen did in this movie.
Yeah, I agree. I forgot to mention this in $1 million arm. Thank God someone's giving Lake Bell work. She's been one of those actresses I've felt for a while needs to get someone.
Thank God Elizabeth Olsen ain't doing a goddamn thing these days. Because I would hate to criticize that girl. Oh, wait, she didn't do a goddamn thing in this movie.
Hey, Scarlet Witch.
They set her up to be... They set her up to be a bitch in this movie. I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna go ahead and call that out, whatever. She's nothing but a stay-at-home. Aaron Taylor Johnson disappears, goes to a nursing home. Or not even her. She's a nurse at this doctor. And she just looks at the sky and runs.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, to me, the only reason she's there is for the emotional punch at the ending and to give Aaron Taylor Johnson the motivation for his family, which he gets from Bryan Cranston, who Bryan Cranston, in his dying words, says... Like, your family, you do anything to protect them.
I just didn't get that emotional punch at the end. That was not emotional.
Oh, no, I completely understand. It hit with me only because, like...
You see a monster brawl like that, or there is no emotional punch or anything like that, especially when the people just randomly accept this monster out of fucking nowhere. Once again, another problem I pointed out before I even saw the fucking movie. How much are you willing to bet that they just accept this monster? And Godzilla was just misunderstood at first.
See, here's the thing. I don't know if they're going to accept him.
What do you mean? No. They accepted him at the end of this movie. Did they not? Yes.
I can't really...
Yes, you can. They had a scene where they were clapping, cheering, and put on the screen the King of Monsters. You gonna tell me that's not accepting?
With a question mark...
They were cheering his ass. It's acceptance.
I didn't hear the cheering.
Bullshit. Oh, my God.
No. I'm serious. Now, when I go back and watch it again, I bet you I hear it now.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you need to watch that shit again.
Because when that was happening, I bet you $5, I was getting up to leave. Because I thought it was over.
I had money on that shit like a month. They had it on the big Megatron, which, by the way, I don't know how that Tron was still available after the end.
I don't know how that stadium was still intact.
They had it on the big screen and everything, just people standing and applauding and shit like that, whatever. I was like, they just randomly, they didn't even see a goddamn thing, and they just randomly accept this thing. Half of them was buried under the fucking rubble.
Now, if I may bring up something else, just for sake here. I do really like the fact that Godzilla's presence is felt throughout this.
The last 30 minutes, yeah.
Because Godzilla cock teases in this movie. Because the first time he shows up, you see a foot and you hear him roar, and then you're looking at him on the TV when Elizabeth Olsen is talking to her son.
Now, I found that something very interesting about that, actually.
I actually found that to be a pain in my ass, to be honest, because here you have this great fight that's going on that I have to look behind this kid's head to see.
Do you want to hear the cruel irony of that fight?
No, not really.
I can tell you from some research I did today, they actually shot that whole fight. It was an actual fight. The reason they didn't leave it in the movie was because it was going to be 3 hours long if they did, so they decided to cut that, which is probably not the best decision.
I was going to say, that's bullshit, because this movie was only 2 hours long. That fight couldn't have been an hour or extra long, so I call bullshit on that, man.
Yeah,
it is 2 hours long. It is still in a 2 hour mark. That fight scene wouldn't have added no extra hour to the fucking thing.
Right, you know? Like, when I read that, because it was this thing, like, it was a Warner Brothers rep that was saying that, I was like, you all just didn't want to pay for it.
I was just about to say, first of all, anything that Warner Brothers say, that's your first problem right there, okay? These people said Bryan Cranston and Denzel Washington going to be Lex Luthor, so I mean, let's just throw that out there real quick, whatever. Anything that Warner Brothers throw out there, that fight probably was 15 minutes extra longer. It wouldn't have killed it or anything like that.
And that would have really helped the pacing to have that fight in there.
That pacing? No, it would have helped that scene. That scene was shit. That scene was blue balls.
Yeah.
That scene was insulting for the simple fact that, oh, shit, we about to have a throwdown. And then next, you know what, you hear him roar, and the camera cuts off to this little bug-eyed, nappy-headed nigga right here, to where you have to look at him while this massive fight is going on in the background of his TV, and he's just looking like, I don't find that funny at all. I find that to be a goddamn blue ball hanging down on the seat right now, because I'm a little upset now, because you don't see that part until an hour into the fucking movie.
Yeah.
And the rest of that hour is boring except for that first 20 minutes of the film.
So, I guess it's time to address the elephant in the room, the one that you've been hinting at for this whole time, which is the last 45 to 30 minutes of this.
Last 30 minutes.
Was it last 30?
I timed it.
Okay.
I was doing timing in this movie for the simple fact that did that to me, and I did timing this one. There is no non-timing in these movies no more, because I wanted to prove my point that I was right when I called this movie out. And
now, I'm curious, how did you take the last 30 minutes of this?
Once again, I was talking to Martin earlier, because he told me, we were talking about...
I know he hated this shit.
Good, because we were talking to each other about it, and he hated it as well, just like I did, or whatever, and I was just like, no, hey, I'm completely with you. I thought the movie was boring as fuck, and we talked about this. I told him the human characters personally were only there to create problems for themselves. That whole little bomb thing at the end, that was a waste of my goddamn time, for the simple fact that you guys started the bomb, and now you're meaning to tell me you want to turn it off yourself? They were putting themselves into conflict and creating diversion away from what we really want to see, which is Godzilla versus these two creatures.
Right.
So personally, to me, I think all the human aspects of it was complete and utter shit. I thought it was just like, this is the weakest plot of this monster movie here, or whatever, when you've got something damn near 20 times much better interesting going on in the background, which is this fight scene between Godzilla. You say his forces failed, whatever. I haven't seen a character get this shafted since goddamn Django Unchained. This character, I don't even know why his name is on the title of his thing, of this movie, because Godzilla's in this movie for probably about 30 minutes at the most, and I'm adding up all the scenes as far as what he is, because you see this motherfucker posing for cameras a lot more than you do see him fighting. That's for goddamn sure. Every time you see him, he's roaring, looking at his scales, or just standing there posing and shit like that. He's just like, motherfucker, are you a swing or something? And then when he really does, you really get into it.
Yeah. It's clear that it's clear that this director had a clear vision of how this fight was going to go down, because he really, like, he had fun making this fight.
I wish he would have just left out them human people then, because if he had so much goddamn fun, he wouldn't have that bullshit-ass star story in there.
Or just leave one of them. Just leave Cranston, because the big thing that he wanted to do is when he...
Oh, no, I'm talking about the end with the whole missile thing.
Yeah.
That missile thing was... That was stupid as fuck from the beginning, and even at the end... It had no payoff to it whatsoever.
Right, and this is what I've been saying throughout the whole thing of this. it, like, this director, he said he wanted to add a human element to Godzilla itself. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. No one's been able to do that before. If you want to go for it, dude. Now, yeah, he did fail because, to me, he did have it in the first 25 minutes with Cranston. And if he wanted to keep it, he just should have had Cranston's character, you know, researching and trying to maybe help Godzilla in fighting these things.
There you go. There goes your plot right there, Leon.
And to me, because Cranston is such a great actor and he could have sold it much better than anyone else does in this film, that could have worked.
He would have sold it just based on the motivation he had. There was no motivation for Aaron Taylor Johnson doing what he did other than, I'm a soldier. I'm the only bomb defuser here or whatever. I can do it, which that's a complete other bullshit as well. I mean, they just suited this nigga up like it was nothing, too.
The thing to me that would have sold it to me with Taylor Johnson is that if they would have just established that the reason he's doing this is for his dad.
Or if they could have put Elizabeth Olsen in harm's way.
That too. Other than the fact that I need to avoid buildings that are going to topple on me.
She's put in no danger whatsoever, to be honest, because once she runs back into this hospital, she's, once again, hey, just like Sally Hawkins, she's off screen now, gone, whatever. And she comes out of it just fine.
Yeah. It's one of those things where all the kudos to this director for at least trying. Because it's something that Roland Emmerich just said fuck it to. And
yeah, so did this guy too. The problem with this guy is he's trying to say that, oh, I tried to add heart. Well, guess what? You didn't.
No,
I didn't feel a goddamn thing for none of these.
He
people.
Failed, and I partially blame that also on the screenwriter of this, because the screenwriter just did not write interesting characters or, as we brought up, interesting reasons to keep the humans in this story. The whole bomb thing.
On it isn't that well, neither, though.
I would say for the fights, it is.
No, yeah, for once again, Godzilla, yeah, the human people, which are, you were saying, like, the last 30 minutes. I would even say the 30 minutes of that last minute, because they keep going back and forth between the humans and Godzilla to the point where there's nothing really memorable about this fucking film except for that last scene where he finishes off that goddamn monster, to be honest.
Fire of death.
Like, the one thing I had positive going in this film is that they made Godzilla a force of nature. He is fucking huge. He is going to destroy everything in his path. And
I wish they would have played around. I wish they would have played.
Never really once in this movie feel his presence of the fact that he can fuck some shit up.
See, and that's the difference for me. I did. I felt his presence throughout this, because when you see the other monsters fucking...
That's when you felt it?
Well, no. Let me explain. I know you hate this movie, but...
Yeah, I don't like this movie at all.
Yeah, let me explain why I didn't hate this as much as you. Because to me, I did feel the presence of Godzilla throughout this movie. I did. I was
Throughout the movie. Throughout the movie. Let me phrase it, because he didn't show up for an hour.
Right. Go ahead. Right, and I understand that. And the part of me that did make me feel his presence was seeing these other monsters just completely fuck everything up. And I was just like...
I'm just giving it a fuck it just by hearing you say that now throughout the movie. Throughout the movie. Even though he doesn't show up for fucking an hour, and he shows up for 5 minutes in that one scene, and all you see is a foot and him roaring, and then he's up here in the last 3 minutes. Throughout the movie. You might want to change that word, because... If that's how people's feeling, this is getting a mighty old fucking right about now.
Well, I don't know. I fully admit to everything you're saying. Like, I don't disagree with anything you're saying, but to me, it did not feel boring to me.
No, I'm not saying boring. I'm saying feeling his presence throughout the film. Throughout the film? That's saying the entire film, then.
I guess the more thing for me is that I did feel that these monsters were a threat.
We're talking about Godzilla.
Okay, all right. Let me reword this for you.
Yeah, reword that, please.
Yeah, let me reword this. I felt the presence of the danger of the monsters.
Okay.
Throughout the movie. Like, whenever you see the Muhos fucking things up, they fuck things up. And it is, you know, you see, there's, like, we talked about the first Cocktea scene with you with the first Godzilla fight. But before that, you see the Muhos just completely fuck up Honolulu by causing a tsunami, blowing shit up. I mean, these things are a force of nature. And one of the things that
as much as what a Transformer would do, personally.
Okay.
Like a tsunami. That little water flood and a little thing. Once again, nothing in there was memorable to see. Somebody was just like, oh my God, I've never seen that done. Like, when you see the building destroyed, the Cloverfield monster destroyed more shit than that. He took the head off the Statue of Liberty. They just shaved a piece of the skin off of the Statue of Liberty, which, by the way, they weren't even in New York. They were in Vegas when they did that. And Vegas, Statue of Liberty is smaller than the original.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't even know how to. The Cloverfield monster fucked that shit up. But this monster, I don't know. They were just. They got too much screen time more than Godzilla did. And I
now, that I do agree with.
Fuck about these monsters or whatever, because they just simple. They look like simple creatures to me and stuff. But,
yeah, the design on them is not that creative, which was disappointing.
They look like Cloverfield monsters.
Yeah, they look like Cloverfield monsters mixed with those rock monsters from Noah.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't mind because I do want to see a fight scene on there, but I was more curious because people are going to go in here and they're thinking this mystery is about Godzilla. None of this, whatever they're talking about, has nothing goddamn thing to do with Godzilla, to be honest.
And
it's all about these creatures.
Yeah, and that's another thing with this screenplay. The screenplay brings up ideas of, like, Godzilla is kind of this peacekeeper nature, that whenever nature's balance goes out of whack, that's when he pops up and puts it back in the force. And I was like, you know, I really wish you would have played with that idea more.
Yeah, because the other two creatures aren't interesting enough to give a shit about.
No, other than the fact that you see them have a bunch of babies, and you think, like, if a bunch of babies of these fucking things hatch... Jesus!
See, here's the thing about that, too. Because I do that, because I agree with that afar. I shouldn't feel like that with the presence of this Godzilla. This Godzilla is massive.
He is
the fucking destroyer of... That's why I'm saying I don't feel his presence enough, whatever. That shouldn't have been no shit to him. Because he is huge. He's bigger than both of these things, or whatever, and shit. And the fact that they never display his destruction power... Oh, his power, goddammit. Oh, it gives me a boner just thinking about it.
Until that last 30 minutes when he's getting the shit kicked out of him by these two things and he just says, fuck it.
Yeah, because once again, see, it's like a Power Rangers episode, pretty much, whatever. They get their ass beat until they call these Zords, whatever, and the next note they pull out some weapon that just destroys the monster instantly. The same thing here happens with Godzilla. It gets his ass kicked because one of them can fly and he keeps, like, hitting them every time he's fighting the other one. So, everybody's just being outnumbered.
Which, I like that dynamic.
I do too.
Yeah. I like that dynamic a lot because it's like, you're right. They build up Godzilla as this big, huge fucking thing. And it's like, what can take that thing down? Well, two monsters that obviously have things he don't. And I'm like, you know what? You got something going here. I really like what you're toying with this. But, like you said, I wish this would have been throughout the movie. And I think that having that fight in the middle instead of showing it on a little TV screen would have really helped this movie. Because it could have been...
What really drags the movie down is that the humans have such a stupid plot that they cause to themselves that it takes away from this awesome fight scene that's going on in the background and shit. And I think that was more insulting to the fight scene that I will throw some credit in the director's way that he probably did have an idea of some cool fight scenes here or whatever. But... Once again, you have to have a superhero without his mask on, if you will, and you have to have actors in here. And one positive thing I can say is that they had a great cast of actors here, but what they're doing is meaningless, and if anything, they're causing more harm to the city than what Godzilla is doing right now. And that really took me out of the fucking part of the movie where I'm just like, can we get back to Godzilla beating their asses right now, or whatever? Where the fuck is, like, because that scene we were talking about where it just got intense, it was getting good, better than what it was as far as, like, Godzilla getting taken down. He's just like, oh, shit, come on, Godzilla, breathe that fire, baby. We want to see that fire. I knew he was going to do that at one point or whatever. And then it goes
back to
And then he goes back to Aaron Taylor Johnson. I'm just like, hey, here we go with this missile shit, see? But then Godzilla comes and he's posing. He's got that light show working on his tail, and whatever. And he breathes some blue flames out. Like, I've never seen blue flames before.
Yeah, because he literally
gave that dude a boner.
You
gave that alien a boner.
You heard the term breathing down your neck.
He pretty much gave he gave him a jazz move. Everybody know from the first Transformers when that thing told him, "You want a piece of me?" Godzilla said, "I want your head."
he said, "I'm gonna breathe down your neck, literally.
You gonna feel the flames." I didn't know Godzilla was Mexican. He brought the fire.
God damn you!
Yeah, that would make perfect sense if he came from Mexico. All the shit in their water. Anyway,
arriba, arriba.
That'd be that. Now that's an interesting story. All the immigrants that was trying to get to California and shit like that, when they were walking in the water, all their dirt and stuff like that must have sworn and made this creature come forth and shit like that. I wish personally the mythos would have been more about Godzilla, because these other two creatures, there's really nothing to them except they're here, they're about to hatch eggs, destroy them.
Yeah.
And really, they're not a franchise monster. They're just this one movie franchise, where Godzilla's going to be, I'm assuming they're going to make a franchise out of it, which I'm assuming they are. So
yeah,
Godzilla's the one that deserves the more mythos out of anyone here. And I don't know, at the end of the movie where everybody was just clapping and cheering and whatever, like, yay, Godzilla. He just walks out and he just roars and shit, and then put, like, King of Monsters, and I'm just like, all right, you took yourself way too serious. Now, this is a goddamn cartoon right here. Now, what's going on here?
I
enjoyed that fight, that ending fight scene there, whatever. And you just took me out of the, there you go again, goddamn it, director.
My dad made an excellent point where the movie should have just ended where when his eye opened. That's when the movie should have cut.
Why not? They know it's going to be a franchise.
Yeah, because that would have led to the mystery and, you know, what the hell are they going to do with this thing?
Or even the part where I think there was a helicopter was swarming around him and he's passed out, and like you said, the eye should just opened up and it just ended.
Yeah, that would have been a much better ending. And I bet you $5, that whole ending that you're complaining about, I bet you that was a studio decision.
Man, you're going to owe me $15 by the end of this movie, too.
Hell, I paid 24 a ticket in New York City.
You're going to pay me back for fucking Legend of Oz or whatever.
Oh, no, you dragged me into that shit.
You keep making these bets here. I'm going to be getting my money back for Legend of Oz pretty soon. What would you give the movie?
You know what? Unlike you, I actually did enjoy this throughout. The boredom didn't hit me as much as everyone else in that hour. I understand why it hits people. But just
is it hitting a lot of people? I'm not sure.
I've read a lot of people it hit. It like what I was reading, because when I walked out of the movie, I was just thinking Rotten Tomatoes, like, oh yeah, I know people's gonna hate this and people are gonna like it and I'm gonna be on the side of the fans this time. And then when I started reading comments on the internet today, I'm like, nope, I'm in the minority again, damn it.
You say minority, okay, hearing you say that, I thought it was 50-50.
I've seen more people saying it was, you know, that hour was boring than me, where it's like, hey, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this mostly throughout. It's just, I do agree with you. The human characters, they could have been a lot stronger, and I really do wish Cranston, who's the best human actor in this by far, I think if it would have followed his character, and I really wish they would have delved more into the mythos about the monsters, because I really like what they set up. How the monsters, you know, how they're able to live and how they're able to, you know, get their life force. I really like how they set that up, because I'm like, huh, that's actually pretty ingenious, but they don't do enough with it to...
You should be happy they didn't pull a former Godzilla and hatch an egg and it was just found somewhere later in the years passed by.
Right.
You should be happy that didn't happen.
Right. Well, it kind of did if you think about it.
Throw it back to Godzilla 99 now. All right.
And I know some people are really not liking this movie, and I don't blame you at all for not liking this. But I will say this is miles away better than the piece of shit we got in 98. This is a Godzilla created
by... My ass is better than that movie.
Huh? Right. This is a Godzilla that was obviously... created by a team that has love for the character. Unfortunately, it feels like they were restrained in the Godzilla fights, and I hate saying that, but part of me hopes if this movie does get a sequel, they get more of an open slate to just have Godzilla kick the shit out of everything.
I don't think anybody was restrained in this movie. It looked like they had full potential in here, and George Frumkin's interviews they had, it sounded like they had almost full control of it. There are
okay.
Studio decisions made in here, but
okay.
From what it was, this isn't The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Okay, fair enough. But now, I haven't watched any of those interviews, so I didn't hear any of that. So I give this a rent it. I mean, I did have a lot of fun with this, and
that budget's gonna go higher.
No, because I see all your points and I agree with most of them. I think the human characters in this, Aaron Taylor Johnson is not a strong enough character to lead this movie.
Since you did reword and word it, I will be nice. You
about to sell. He was about to sell that fucking, and I was gonna have no regret about it at all. As far as I go, as far as these characters, all these characters are horrible. I think why didn't get someone like Liz Bell just unknown then? Then make this their starting movie or something like that. I actually don't like when movies do that and they have her in here to do nothing. It's a shame when a movie where we talked about a woman, we're glad she didn't work, but she really doesn't do much. But she does kind of add to the story, does a lot more than the woman that they marketed in this movie. I think why, if you're what you're saying is right about fans that's not liking the movie, I think why that's so true is because the movie markets itself that Godzilla is this force of nature. And I personally don't recall seeing Godzilla being a force of nature at all. I remember seeing his foot being a force of nature and his yelling as the force of nature. When he yelled, those trees was flying back. But other than that, he didn't really fuck shit up like I wanted him to. Like, at least I thought he was going to be fucked up shit. And I kind of did say something where I was going to go, if they pull that, he just misunderstood shit, this is getting a fucking, because that shit right there is just some old bullshit, if anything. But I did like the fight scenes at the end. And Bryan Cranston's character is the only thing that held together from getting a fucking. It's a low stream it. And I personally don't have any intentions of wanting to see it again, to be honest. Anyway, nobody has never, none of these movies has ever made me give a fuck about what Godzilla is now.
Okay. Well.
I thought this one was going to be it.
But well, there will be many.
You didn't do anything for God. Well, I think you set up perfectly when you said, I wish they would have more mythos about the monster. I wish it would have had more mythos about Godzilla.
Yeah.
Because these monsters don't mean anything. Because at the end of the movie, we know he's going to kill them. So.
Yeah, and it starts to toy with the mythos of Godzilla, and when it does, you're kind of like, huh, now this is getting interesting, and then they cut, you're like, God damn it.
There's nothing here for Godzilla, and once again, this is another Django Unchained where the main title character is getting shafted from the movie, and the movie suffers from that probably as well.
Yeah, well, people, don't make a monster movie because P1 will hate it.
Yeah, most likely, because you fuckers can't do it right, where you should just have these monsters beating the shit out of each other. But once again, Godzilla, I never knew how boring you was.
So, in other words,
I saw this movie.
In other words, if you want P1 to like a monster movie, you need to make the WWE monster all-out bash.
No humans.
No humans.
I've seen what Shia LaBeouf can do. I don't need no more humans.
Yeah. You want the WWE match between Gojira and Mega Gojira.
I want Godzilla and the director of this film, because that director obviously doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Oh.
I don't give a fuck. He doesn't know what he's doing. He does not know how to direct human characters. He pulled the Michael Bay straight to school acting. He knows how to interact some special effects with some buildings and shit like that, but the motherfucker can't work with actors.
All right.
Throwing it out there.
All right.
I've seen these actors do much better than this, so fuck you, director.
All right, well, I think this is a good chance to cut this off. Good night, folks.
Fuck you, Gareth Edwards.